Welcome to the weekly Dharma Talk podcast from the Columbus Karma Teksum Choling Buddhist Meditation Center. This week's Dharma Talk is entitled The Servant's Heart by Lama Cathy Wesley. As we approach the reopening of Columbus KTC after 6 years of nomad life, it's a great time for us to renew our understanding of what it means to have a servant's heart. Using the teachings and life example of Kempo Karta Rinpoche, Lama Cathy will explore ways we can serve the Dharma by serving one another. If you like our Dharma Talk series, please consider donating to Columbus Karma Teksum Choling at columbusktc.org. Enjoy the podcast.
This is Lama Cathy coming to you from beautiful downtown Newark, Ohio, for the Sunday morning 11:30 Dharma Talk at 9:15 p.m. on the 13th of March. Those of you who tuned in this morning hoping to see the Dharma Talk at 11:30 might have been surprised not to see one, especially since I had hoped we could put one together. But everybody worked really, really hard, and everything went really, really well until the audio. We ran into a problem with the audio, and so we were not able to webcast today. So even though it's late and many of you should be in bed, I'm going to go ahead and give a short version of today's Dharma Talk, which is on the servant's heart. We'll begin with the refuge prayer, thinking that we dedicate this time that we're going to spend together to the benefit of sentient beings. I'll recite the prayer in English three times. In the Buddha, his teaching, and the order most excellent, we take refuge until enlightenment is reached. By the merit of generosity and other good deeds, may we attain Buddhahood for the sake of all that lives. In the Buddha, his teaching, and the order most excellent, we take refuge until enlightenment is reached. By the merit of generosity and other good deeds, may we attain Buddhahood for the sake of all that lives. In the Buddha, his teaching, and the order most excellent, we take refuge until enlightenment is reached. By the merit of generosity and other good deeds, may we attain Buddhahood for the sake of all that lives. I'll recite a short prayer to the gurus of the lineage, and then we'll begin. Oh, Palden Sawe Lama Rinpoche, Dagi Chiwo Pede Den Shala, Kadran Chembo Gunei Che Sunte, Kusun Tugging a Drup Saldu So. Okay, thanks. So today, I actually gave the talk this morning, and we got nice video, but the audio wasn't quite what it could be. So I'm going to give what really amounts to a completely different talk, because the talk was going to take place in the new Shrine Room at KTC. And in fact, we had a great time filming and we had a great time being there this morning. Even though there was no audience, it had a good feeling to sit in that big, beautiful room and address empty space. It was really swell. But the topic, the servant's heart, came about because of one of the tours that we gave last week of the Columbus KTC. And as I was walking down the stairs with a person, one of the volunteers or one of the visitors, she was marveling at how the building came together. She said, how did this happen? How did this all come together? She said, it appeared as though by magic. And what I have to say is that it actually sort of felt like that to us too, even though I have to admit there were times when we actually felt every single step, some of which were a little bit painful and some of which were kind of stressful. But we did it. We were able to work on the project because we were lifted up by the team of people that we had assembled. and the people who we assembled, and so many people helped. I mean, dozens and dozens and dozens of people helped with the creation of the center. And it was buoyed up by these people and what I call the servant's heart. So the servant's heart, I'm going to define it as the dedication to something greater than oneself. And it's a dedication to something greater than yourself. And you could call it a shared vision. And the development of a humble joy in working toward a shared goal. And so that's what I'm calling the servant's heart. I remember what it was like 25 years ago when I first started teaching. I was sort of ambitious. I wanted to help and teach and be part of the center, and I wanted to help and teach as Kepo Karth Rinpoche had asked me to do, because when I finished the retreat, he said, please help Columbus KTC, and then when you have spare time, go to other centers and teach. And so I did that, but I had to try to be humble, because it was pretty exciting to finish retreat. And I felt like I was very excited and had a lot to offer. But Kempo Kartha Rinpoche, in his wisdom, kept saying to me, no, you're just a small, small lama. And he gave me a little bit of humility on a regular basis to help me remember that we all start out very small. So it was that I felt that he was trying to urge me to have a different motivation. He wanted me to have a motivation of the servant who had the heart to help other beings. He didn't want it to be about me. He wanted it to be about the Dharma. As one of the lamas who instructed me at the beginning of my career said, you need to sit in the teaching seat. You can't just sit off to the side. You have to sit in the teaching seat, because it's not that you are a big deal. It's that Dharma is a big deal. So that helped a lot with my experience of trying to learn how to teach. Because when you're first learning how to teach, you both are really excited and really terrified. You want to help, but you're afraid of making mistakes. And Kempo Karth Rinpoche was always there for me. He always helped me. He always gave me advice about what to do and how to teach and how to help people and so on. But he also did remember to give me humility in big doses on a regular basis. So I remembered, and I was reminded of this when I started thinking about a book I had read by Pema Chodron. Pema Chodron, the fabulous teacher, and she talked about how weird it was for her to sit in the teaching seat, and how she spoke to Trungpa Rinpoche, one of her mentors, about it. And he said, when you're a lama, when you're a teacher, you have to be both big and small at the same time. And again, it all seemed to come down to being a servant to others. So that was how I got my start. I got my start from the stunning example of Kempo Kartha Rinpoche. I mean, he was perfect in every way, and he was able to do everything and help everyone and manage and juggle all kinds of responsibilities. So when we came into the situation of needing to rebuild the Columbus KTC, I felt a little bit inadequate to the task, but he kept encouraging us and he kept moving us forward. And he always seemed to be so excited about it. And I said, you know, how do you stay so enthusiastic when things get so hard? And he said, I have been teaching for many, many years, and I am more than 90 years old. And he said, but I have never lost my enthusiasm for serving His Holiness Karmapa. And so that really struck me, that for him, it was about serving Karmapa and carrying out this vision that Karmapa had for Dharma in America. So that gave me another lesson as to how to have a servant's heart. Well, you might ask, where does the servant's heart come from? Where does it begin? I think that it starts from the wish that we have. Many of us have this wish from the time we're very small, to be of help to other people. We want to help people. Those of you who have read The Ornament of Precious Liberation, Gampopa's masterwork from the 12th century, about the various aspects of Dharma practice, know that in his very first chapter, he talks about the different kinds of people there are. There's the kind of person who has no interest in Dharma whatsoever. There's the sort of intermediate person who could be interested in Dharma, might not be interested in Dharma. And then finally, there's the person who he calls the most ideal Dharma student, which is the person who has a beautiful heart that is loving and giving, naturally loving and giving. And the first group, he says, that have no inclination to Dharma at all, he calls them the cut off family, because it's almost like they've cut themselves off from virtue by having no interest in spiritual life whatsoever. But then he says there's like a middling or intermediate family of people who might be interested in Dharma, but then again, might be dissuaded from it. And then finally, the Mahayana family. Maha means great and Yana means a path. So the people of the great path of the Bodhisattva. Bodhi means awakening and Sattva means a person who has the mind of. So Bodhisattva is a person who has the mind of wanting to awaken to Buddhahood. And so I think really for those of us who have been studying the Dharma for a long time, it starts with being in the Mahayana family and having a wish to benefit beings from the time you're very young. And then once we find Dharma, we get enthusiastic about Dharma. We rejoice and get excited about the teachings of the Buddha. We get especially excited about his teachings on love and compassion and how important love, compassion, joy, equanimity, humility, generosity, patience, how amazing all of those things are and how transformative all of those things are. And Kempo Karthar Rinpoche said that when we just nurture this wish, just the wish to be of benefit to others, and keep it with us all the time, hold on to it all the time, he says it starts a momentum of goodness. He said it has a momentum of goodness within us, and that momentum of goodness eventually becomes self-sustaining. And I guess you could say that over time, we learn skill. We may not really have skill in helping others at the beginning. We may just have the wish, but not the skill. And so we make lots of mistakes as we try to help people. We run into ourselves. We get ahead of ourselves. We get upset. We get angry. We get impatient. We get all of those things while we're trying to help others. And we worry because we don't want to make mistakes as we try to help others. And I remember talking to Lama Karma Drodul, about this one time. Lama Karma Drodul, who you know is Kempo Karthar Rinpoche's nephew and is a wonderful Dharma teacher. And I said to him once that I was worried about making mistakes as a Dharma teacher. And he comforted me by saying, well, you know what Milarepa said? And I said, no. And he said, well, Milarepa said that if your heart is pure and your intention is good, then even if you make some mistakes, it will all come out well eventually. So that gave me some heart that even though I was unskillful in trying to help people and I wasn't doing things properly or well, that there was still a chance for me to benefit. And I think part of the reason for this is this servant's heart. This shows as a sincerity to other people. I think that people, we read each other as human beings. We see each other and it and we can read sincerity, and we know that we're trying our best, and we can feel when people are trying their best. In fact, I remember Herb Wallum, a member that some of the KTC who has passed away some years ago, who many of you may still remember, he once said to me, well, he said, you may never become an enlightened being. He said, but you're going to show us what it looks like to try real hard. And I really got to admit that was I had a good feeling hearing that, you know, we're going to try real hard, even if we don't get there. And that, I think, is another aspect of the servant's heart, is that we just keep trying. And I think that Kempa Rinpoche gave us all of the tools we needed to in order to benefit sentient beings. He gave us the teachings. He gave us his stunning and sterling example of being able to be patient with just about anything, and being able to patiently explain the same Dharma teachings to us over and over and over again. And then to say to somebody like me feeling uncertain that eventually things would come out well, and being able to say to people like me that I needed to be more patient and needed to learn more and to work more and to do my best to benefit beings in the right way. So that's a little bit about the servant's heart and where I feel that it comes from. It comes from within us, and it's nurtured by us through our Dharma practice and through our attempts to be kind and good to ourselves and kind and good to others. So you might wonder why I decided to talk about the servant's heart today. Well, as I was giving the morning version of this talk in the big shrine room, I said, well, it's because in a big place like this, we're going to need some help. There is so much to do in our new Dharma Center. We've got places that need dusting, and we've got floors that need sweeping, and we've got greeters desks that need greeters behind them, and we need volunteers for virtually every area of the center. In fact, this morning when I came in, two volunteers from the library were meeting with Lama Adam this morning at the KTC library, and they were so excited to be there and so excited to be learning about how to help people with the KTC library. So I feel super happy about the volunteers we have, and I'm hoping that you will think about your life and think about what you could do to help Columbus KTC. Maybe you have an hour that you would like to donate to us, or you would you could think about your week and think, well, could I give an hour here, or could I give an hour there? We all know everybody's got a family to take care of. You've got to take care of yourself. You've got to take care of business. You've got to make sure that you have a shelter over your head and food on your table and to take care of all your responsibilities with your family. But after that's done, maybe you have an hour here or there, or maybe you have a skill, a special skill that you would like to help us with. So think about your day, think about your week, think about where you might be able to donate some time to KTC and consider serving the Sangha at KTC. So part of the reason that I thought it would be good to bring this up was I remembered, as I was writing this talk, I remembered a couple of things that Kempa Rinpoche did when he was training us to be good volunteers. Way back in 1988, when he gave his very first teaching on how to greet new people. He said the main thing you need to do with new people, he said, is listen. He said everybody comes to the Dharma Center because something is going on in their life that they need help with. And he said, so your job when they come in through the door is to say hello and to listen. And he said, after you've had a chance to listen to them, he said, do your best to give whatever simple advice you can to be of help to them and to lift their spirits. And he said, and if they feel nurtured and helped by you, then he said, you will become a person of trust for them and they may come back to see you again. And so over time, this was something that I tried to cultivate in myself and tried to help others cultivate too. And then later in 1997, Kemper Vaché said something else that was really meaningful to me. In 1997, when he gave a KTC conference, he also addressed the issue of helping and helping people connect to the center. And he said it is up to the older Dharma students to create the atmosphere in which new people can meet the Dharma. And somebody said, well, I'm not that old. And he said, well, he said, it's not about age. He said, it's if you know one more Dharma, one more piece of Dharma than the person you're talking to, he said, you're the senior student in that situation. So he said, if you see a person who needs some help, then you should be there for that. And that you should create the atmosphere where people can meet the Dharma. So that's what helped to inform the way we train meditation instructors and greeters at Columbus KTC. We try to encourage them to recognize that there is no such thing as a silly question, and that everybody is free to ask questions and free to learn. And that we need to create an atmosphere where people can be together and learn Dharma together. And so in this way, I'm hoping that by talking about the servant's heart and talking about how Rinpoche trained us, and that this will help you feel encouraged and help you feel ready to assist and serve at Columbus KTC. There are already many opportunities for service, and some folks have already signed up. And you can go to our website, to the Columbus KTC, www.columbuskTC.org, and then click on the there's a volunteerism tab, and you can click on that and then go and enter information so that you can give information to KTC. Now, the next week or so is going to be quite exciting for us in that we're going to have our first Sunday opportunities next Sunday, March the 20th. And for the next 3 weeks or so, we're going to use pre-registration as a way of helping people take turns and connect for the public programs at KTC. As you know, our medical advisors have advised us to not have group chanting programs just now. So the Sunday program will consist of the 10 a.m. Open meditation, and the 11 o'clock conversation break, and then the Dharma talk at 11:30. So it will be from 10 a.m. to 12:30 will be the public program. Those of you who are interested in Introduction to Buddhism, our Introduction to Buddhism class will also be meeting, as well as the conversation break, and then the 11:30 Introduction to Buddhism class. Introduction to Meditation is at 10, Introduction to Buddhism is at 11:30. We are asking for pre-registration for the next few weeks, just to see the numbers and to help people stay at least a little distanced as we navigate the change in CDC guidelines regarding the coronavirus. So we're hoping that to have information about this in our newsletter and on Facebook tomorrow, or tomorrow at the earliest, that's Monday, or Tuesday at the latest. You can check out the newsletter and the website and also the Facebook page. So it's all very exciting, and we're looking forward to seeing everyone at the KTC. So this being a smaller than usual Dharma talk, I wanted to conclude with a reading about the servant's heart that really makes me happy every time I read this. This is from Shantideva, his 8th century text, The Way of the Bodhisattva. And it talks about the kind of inspiration that a person can have when they nurture their servant's heart. It starts in, I'm going to be reading from chapter 3 and starting on verse 8. And then I'm going to skip verses 12 through 15 and start again on 16. So if you want to get your books out, you can check them out. So here's the Bodhisattva talking about their motivation and their wish. For all those ailing in the world, until their every sickness has been healed, may I myself become for them the doctor, nurse, the medicine itself. Raining down a flood of food and drink, may I dispel the ills of thirst and famine. And in the ages marked by scarcity and want, may I myself appear as drink and sustenance. For sentient beings, poor and destitute, may I become a treasure ever plentiful and lie before them closely in their reach, a varied source of all that they might need. My body thus, and all my goods besides, and all my merits gained and to be gained, I give them all away, withholding nothing, to bring about the benefit of beings. Nirvana is attained by giving all, Nirvana the objective of my striving. Everything, therefore, must be abandoned, and it is best to give it all to others. If those who see me entertain a thought of anger or devotion, may these states supply the cause whereby their good and wishes are fulfilled. All those who slight me to my face or do me any other evil, even if they blame or slander me, may they attain the fortune of enlightenment. May I be a guard for those who are protectorless, a guide for those who journey on the road. For those who wish to go across the water, may I be a boat, a raft, a bridge. May I be an isle for those who yearn for landfall, and a lamp for those who long for light. For those who need a resting place, a bed. For all who need a servant, may I be their slave. May I be the wishing jewel, the vase of plenty, a word of power, and the supreme healing. May I be the tree of miracles, and for every being, the abundant cow. Like the earth and the pervading elements, enduring as the sky itself endures. For boundless multitudes of living beings, may I be their ground and sustenance. Thus, for everything that lives, as far as are the limits of the sky, may I provide their livelihood and nourishment until they pass beyond the bounds of suffering. Just as all the Buddhas of the past embrace the awakened attitude of mind and in the precepts of the Bodhisattvas, step by step, abode and trained, just so, and for the benefit of beings, I will also have this attitude of mind, and in those precepts, step by step, I will abide and train myself. Thank you. thank you very much for listening. And I know that I see there are seven of you out there. Thank you so much for watching this prime time, much later than it meant to be, a Dharma talk for today. And I hope that all of you are keeping well and taking good care of yourselves. I know that it's been a very difficult few weeks with war going on in Europe. And I know that folks are feeling a little frightened about the future. It's my hope that all of us can continue to practice the compassion mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum, and that we can imagine all the world transformed into a pure realm for the benefit of transforming our own tendency toward fear and hate into what Shantideva talks about as being the exchange of flowers. In other words, abandoning our own fear and hate and bringing up a feeling of goodness and mercy within ourselves. So I want to thank you, and I want to look forward to seeing you soon. And let's do a dedication of merit, bringing together all of the goodness that we've brought here tonight and dedicating it to the liberation of all sentient beings. Kempo Kartha Rinpoche used to say, you know, you can pull together all of your merit, the merit of the past, the merit of the future, and pull it all together and dedicate it all to sentient beings. So here we go. Through this merit, may all achieve the omniscience of Buddhahood. May it defeat our common enemy, wrongdoing, from the stormy waves of birth, old age, sickness, and death, from the ocean of samsara. May we free all beings. May we free all beings. May we free all beings. Thanks, everyone. And thanks to the volunteers of KTC and also to the guys who are going to be editing this into a podcast later in this week. So thanks to everyone. I really appreciate it. The audio visual guys were working for 6 hours yesterday, and they were going to work again tonight. So they're trying to put together a really lovely system for us. So take good care, everyone. I rejoice. Bye-bye and good night. Om Mani Padme Hum.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Dharma Talk. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did, please subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes. To learn more about the Columbus Karma Teksum Choling or to donate to support our Dharma Talk series, please visit our website at columbusktc.org. The opening and closing music for the podcast is Tibetan Flute Song by Tamding Arts at tamdingarts.com. Please join us again next week for another Dharma Talk.